Tina.
There is no alternative.
Or not to Tina.
There is an alternative.
An audio drama by the Botsotso Ensemble.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
It's not depression. It's capitalism.
It's not depression. It's capitalism.
Yes, officer. We caught this woman and her son shoplifting. This bag was packed with food.
Pretty full bag too, huh? Must come to a few hundred rand, right?
It's actually over 1,000. There's so much theft these days. Even big companies like us are struggling. And man, these people don't even try and hide what they're doing.
Real scalems, eh?
Oh, that's not true. We are not criminals. We are just hungry.
Aye, Tula Wanafan. You're just another school dropout looking for Nyaube.
He is not a dropout. He is my son, and he's with me because I have lost my job, and we don't have any money.
Oh, really? So this store must now support you.
Oh, how else are we supposed to survive?
My boy, I have a business to run. I'm not the government. I'm not here to solve problems caused by their messed up policies.
You criticizing the government?
And why not? The government's policies have caused people to think they can do what they like.
Exactly. Look at the bosses. I criticize the government for allowing the bosses to fire people so easily.
Madam, do you know what problems I have with my staff? Half of them are off sick, and the other half are either stealing or slacking off.
Hey, Chief. I don't like the way you're talking. Don't tell me everyone here is a thief.
Wabona office, this is his attitude. The man is a racist. If we were white, he would never act like this.
Exactly. He wouldn't have called the police.
You think he only called us to arrest you because he's a racist? Do you think black or Indian shopkeepers would let you walk out with a bag full of groceries and not pay? Hey, Wena. You're making fools of yourselves. You must think deep, lady.
Yes, think deep to get out of your deep hole.
Yeah, Batu, I didn't dig it. Your system did the work, and now I am the one who is stuck.
Then don't steal.
But the bosses steal when they don't pay us properly for the work we do. And with all the tax money we pay, the government should give people enough for the ladder so we can climb out of the hole you have put us in.
Yeah. It's like that story about feeding a starving man by giving him a fishing rod so he can learn to catch food for himself.
Oh, so where is our fishing rod, hey?
You can't expect government to give you everything on a plate. You have to do things for yourself.
Hey, but, and you do everything for yourself. No, you don't. You employ people to help you run the store. You won't manage alone.
Yeah, we need each other.
Then why come and steal from the shop, huh?
Hey, wait now. We didn't steal. We are hungry, man.
And that's because my mother lost her job. She didn't resign. She was retrenched.
Boy, I used to work for a big company, and long before COVID, they had already put me on short time and tried to casualize my job. Many bosses are using COVID as an excuse to cut back on jobs.
That may be, but then the government does nothing to pick up the economy. It's all talk and no action.
That is very true. So as workers, we get hit from all sides. Exploiting bosses and corrupt government.
What are you going to do about it? Huh? Try and steal from another shop.
Hey, Wena, you are very stubborn about this stealing thing. Let us say that, hey, Wena, you are the one to get retrenched and you run out of money for your family. What are you going to do?
I'll start my own business.
But what if you didn't save any money because you were earning so little? Should the rest of us let you starve? Hmm? Where is Ubuntu?
Look, I don't mind you practicing your Ubuntu, whatever you want to call it. But don't try and come to my store again. If I see you, I'll call security to kick you out.
Wabon, he's racist.
But you people must go and make a plan.
Mina, I still don't see that us taking basic foodstuffs is wrong. It's not just the ones without jobs who can come up with solutions. Our whole society must make a plan. Everyone should be able to work and earn a living.
Yeah, you are right, Mama. But as I speak, now I'm hungry. My stomach is still waiting. And how much longer will I have to wait? I need your answer now, and I'm Mr. Manager.
Look, this is enough talk. I must get back to work, and you people must get moving. You know what you have to do, officer?
Oh, yes, yes. It's an open and shut case.
Hebatu, you are arresting us.
What do you think?
Oh, when I, you are too cruel.
No. It's not cruel, my boy. We have to have law and order. Otherwise, the system won't work.
Outra, mama. He's just part of the system, and he likes it.
Do you know how many hungry people there are in this country? Can my company feed all of you?
No. On your own, no. But it should never be the responsibility of one company. That is something the whole country must be involved in. It's the whole system that must change.
You're getting clever, huh? How are you going to change the system? By shoplifting? No gak of bata.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is an alternative.
Rojava! Rojava! Rojava!
Atungwe, what is Rojava? What does it have to do with hunger?
Or jobs?
Or women's rights?
Or with me taking you off to jail? No, go, Ozan. You chance us. Time to teach you a lesson, Maj.
The 2 million people of Rojava, a mainly Kurdish region in northeast Syria, have effectively governed and defended themselves since 2014. This resulted from the weakening of central state authority during the civil war provoked by the dictator Bashar al-Assad and the invasion of Islamic fundamentalists and other forces from Iraq, Iran, and Turkey.
We, the Rojavan Movement of Democratic Society, want direct democracy and we reject the nation state. We want all citizens to get organized and be actively in government. We start from the smallest entity, the commune, at neighborhood level. Then we have the local assembly composed of representatives of the different communes. The next level is municipal councils made up of representatives of local assemblies.
And now, to continue with this discussion, we move to Dr. Kekana's consulting room in Jozi, where she is engaged with a patient, Zweli Maboja. But Siriti Mukwena, young activist from Lesotho, has overheard their conversation and is now proposing a cure for Zweli's depression.
I wanna be there when the people start to turn it around.
Siriti? Let me tell you that this Rojava of yours is bound to fail like all such experiments. The different groups who live there are able to survive at the moment because their needs are simple. They are mainly trying to survive a war. But once the war is over, they will again need to be part of a bigger, much more centralized state in order to have a decent standard of living.
No, you're wrong. A centralized state always involves domination by a small minority. The desire of this class for great wealth drives government. Of course, the results for the majority of people are terrible, and that's why we must break the power of the few over the many.
Hey, I hear you, sister. You know I'm an old activist. During the struggle against apartheid, right here in our own townships, we built structures that were similar to the communes in Rojava. They were called civics.
Yes, I'm a new generation, but I've heard about them. It was a powerful step forward.
Yeah, it was a very hard period. But residents decided on their own to organize their neighborhoods regarding political demands as well as campaigns for basic services and housing and other local needs. Decisions really were the result of genuine discussion followed by a collective action.
I also heard that what made it easier was that people participated as residents, not as members of a political party.
Yeah, that's right. The important thing was that the majority should benefit and no one should be left behind.
And is it true that because many trade unions wanted to bring all workers together, they supported particular policies but left members to decide which party they would vote for in elections?
Yes, comrade. That openness and respect for democracy gave people hope for a new way of living.
Imagine all the people living life in peace. You.
Oh, my friends, you are dreamers. What happened to those street committees? Where are those broad-based trade unions? Why have they disappeared?
There's a straightforward answer to that. The leadership.
Exactly. After 1994, the very leadership of the liberation movements you supported so faithfully during the struggle either disbanded or co-opted these structures. Even worse, the leaders of the civics and the trade unions quietly went along with this in return for plum jobs in government or in big business. So there you have it.
Calm down, Doc. They are always traitors. Don't judge all people by the corrupt few.
But they're not a few, and they're not the first. We really should have learned something from other African and Middle Eastern countries where this had already happened.
Ah, that's obvious. But access to power means access to money, and a lot of money.
And these big shots only pretend to be against the old colonial system while they faithfully keep it alive.
We need another lesson, friend.
People in Rojava know from their bitter experience of Assad's dictatorship that power corrupts. As a result, when they took control away from the Syrian state in 2014, they gave people at local level the right to run things like sanitation, security, distribution of electricity and water, women's rights, and education. This does not block wider regional consultation on delivery of services and economic planning, but ensures that local interests and wishes are always taken into account.
You know, the ruling class justifies its behavior with many tricks. Even though our media is full of information about their corruption, the majority of workers still vote for these bad guys.
And the reason is that it's not enough just to expose corruption. You must give coverage to alternatives. And in our case, the mass media failed to do so. They all support the capitalist system.
Yeah, but to be fair, Siridina, we ourselves are also to blame, man. These days, trade unions hardly have education programs or campaigns. And this goes back well before COVID. And the new civics that are coming up are still very small, and they don't have resources.
They certainly don't. If they were more effective, one would hope service delivery would improve and incompetent councillors would get voted out.
But Doc, things won't stay that way forever. What looks like a hopeless situation can be an opportunity for real change. Just look at Rojava.
You guys are jokers. You admit local worker organizations are weak, and yet you want a Rojava-style revolution in Zanti.
Okay. But that makes it even more necessary for building organization.
Seconded, comrade. Unity, maximum unity. But genuine, not fly-by-night stuff. You know, to be honest, a key problem are the divisions among those who claim to be socialists.
Divisions based on power mongering or on basic principles?
Both. And this is not something new, eh? In fact, the Great Russian Revolution collapsed because of a lack of respect for worker control. 100 years ago, the Bolshevik Party in Soviet Russia attacked and killed thousands of sailors at the Kronstadt naval base. The sailors had fought for the revolution, but now, after the victory, they were seeing worker control being taken away by the party. What's worse is that the Bolsheviks refused to even discuss this with them. They just sent an ultimatum. Drop your demands and return to work or be shot down. That same year, 1921, the Bolsheviks broke a wave of strikes in the cities and basically banned free trade unions.
Ah, what a sad example of a revolution eating its children.
Yeah, no, it was a tragedy, eh? And that's why we must be so careful to limit power.
In Rojava, they have done that to a greater extent than anywhere else.
Imagine no possessions.
small-sized businesses still do exist, but these are required to be based on meeting people's needs and are accountable to the communes. This controls profit-making and keeps prices affordable. Every cooperative makes its own decisions, but is also accountable to the commune. The rules of work are decided by majority vote.
Some cooperatives elect a coordinating committee to manage the day-by-day operations. However, in such cases, to guard against the emergence of a privileged class, these committee members are paid the same as everyone else, are recallable, and are subject to the democratic will.
My friends, that all sounds good in theory, but we humans are a strange bunch. We like to argue for the sake of arguing. We like to push ourselves forward and get attention. And what happens when some people work harder than others and still get paid the same as those who are lazy?
Hey, Doc, we aren't talking fairyland. The general meeting has to be realistic and honest in setting targets and laying out what happens if people don't meet them.
Yeah, and that takes maturity. People must be open to criticism.
Obviously, Zweli, but criticism usually makes people defensive. In most cases, we go into our shell to protect our self-image and fight to not lose face. And sometimes criticism comes from political agendas or personal jealousy. There are also power issues, especially when it comes to men criticizing women's performance.
And funny how the position of women is usually a key indicator as to how free everyone is.
And that's the beauty of Rojava.
Beyond the commune system, there are women-only councils. These are federated through the Congra Star, a women's organization. All women involved in social, political, and militia work are members.
Political education is at the center of Congra Star's work. Twice a month, members visit every neighborhood in Rojava to educate people on the agenda of the revolution. Training courses on how the communes and councils function are provided.
Congra Star is also involved in establishing women's cooperatives and runs peace committees in neighborhoods throughout Rojava. These act essentially as democratic women's courts, and they deal with cases of domestic and gender-based violence, forced marriages, the non-payment of child support, as well as underage marriages.
Going on? Sounds like a riot.
Yes, there's police action. I wonder who they're after.
Hey, probably a smash and grab. You know, there's a lot of nyope addicts out there, as well as the hungry.
Let me in, please. Just for a few minutes. I can't stay outside. It's dangerous. Please, just till they pass.
Who are you? What's going on?
It's a police riot.
But why are you running away?
It's for to check papers of immigrants.
Oh my God, they're still doing this.
Yes, I was lucky to go through the first two roadblocks.
And you're illegal?
Obviously, Doc. Otherwise, he wouldn't be looking for shelter.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't feel comfortable helping people who are breaking the law. You can't just flood into a country because there's a dictatorship at home.
Believe me, my sister, we haven't ran away for nothing. There's no work, and the army is lawless.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible situation.
And who's to blame for that?
Ach, don't pretend you don't know, but South Africa isn't blameless.
No, you aren't. Though we, Zimbabweans, have to take most of the responsibility.
Ah, but what about the British? You know, they and the Americans are spearheading the sanctions that are killing the country.
Sanctions are a problem, but not the most important. In any case, they are there because of ZANU-PF.
Ah. And they are a corrupt bunch, like so many of our ruling party.
Exactly. So how can you expect the ANC to discipline ZANU-PF? And that being the case, who else can force change? Must we hire mercenaries to go in and clean them out?
Yes, I can just see an invasion working. But what we can do together with Zimbabweans in South Africa is organize more support for democratic movements over there. We can't give up.
Then why haven't we done this?
It's the weakness of our own worker movement. And that, Doctor, is why I came to see you, man. I can't take it, man. Yeah? I can't watch the stupidity of these so-called leaders of the working class. It's killing me, man.
But you must organize, elect new leaders. I've been telling you about Rojava for the last half an hour. Were your ears blocked?
No, comrade. I've been listening. And I was feeling inspired until this comrade came in, man. And when he told us why he's running from the police, I just felt hopeless again. The hard world outside just broke me down again.
I'm sorry, my brother. I didn't mean to take you down. But I had to find a safe place. Those cops are quick on the trigger. And right now, there is a fresh outbreak of an old virus that makes them super itchy.
And what's the name of this old new virus?
Sister, it's called crisis. Social crisis, political crisis, economic crisis. Yes, it's more dangerous than this COVID. And you know we can't play around with that one, eh?
And you left out one other crisis, my brother. You men must stop giving us women a hard time. You must stop all these attacks, this abuse. Come right. Look at the example of Rojava. There, women and men stand together against male violence.
And so, Rojava, a small region in northern Syria, has become an important example of revolutionary change. Not since the anarchist revolt in Spain in the 1930s, when workers and peasants united to throw off the rule of a corrupt religious and landowning class, has such a mass-based movement for direct democracy created a new reality.
There is an alternative!
Wake up, Mzansi! There is an alternative!